break and repairs if you're heading in toward Tacoma Park.
Good morning. Happy Monday. Joining us at 8:05, it is Trevor Maddich with a recap of yesterday's game, a win for the Redskins. So it'll be a good interview with Trevor Maddich coming up.
Joyful and triumphant.
There you go. I'm Mary Walter, and that's Vince Colonnese.
All right, pleased to welcome back to the show Kevin Hassett. He's the chair of the Council of Economic Advisors at the White House. He's got a busy week ahead of him, so let's talk about it. Kevin, good morning, sir. Glad to have you.
Oh, it's great to be back.
Let's talk about something I saw over the weekend that I was really kind of tickled by and intrigued. In New York, New York's wealthiest, this is the headline from Yahoo Finance, New York's wealthiest are threatening a mass exodus because of the Republican tax plan. The notion being that by reducing that state and local tax deduction, you may be compelling some of those high taxpayers in some of those states to flee for states with more favorable tax structures. Was that sort of the point?
Yeah, I guess the point is that right now what's going on is if you're a high tax state, and sadly here in D.C. we're a high tax, not state, right, but district, then you can have an inefficient local government, and the federal government will help cover that up a little bit by mailing money from low tax states to high tax states. That's effectively the way you should think about the state and local deduction. And so by removing that, then it will put pressure on states to be more efficient. And so we're going to end this game where the federal government puts its finger on the scale in favor of high tax states.
So this is kind of like a sin tax for states.
Yeah, it's actually not such a bad way to think about it.
Yeah, for high taxes, yeah. I think it's good.
But those states, though, Kevin, are already experiencing a lot of flight. You see New York and New Jersey, everybody moves to Pennsylvania. They move to the Carolinas. You see Maryland residents, district residents fleeing to Virginia. And so moving out of that. So that's already going. That's already happening. I look at this as more of a way of bringing those high tax states in line and saying, oh, look at you. You had to forcing them to be more fiscally responsible.
Right. That's what happened. In fact, even in New Jersey, they had planned a tax hike on millionaires, which they've canceled because of this. And again, the problem is that people move. You see this when retirees go to Florida and stuff, right? Like people go to low tax places. And it's something that is probably going to be accelerated by this tax policy change.
And now, as you're about to get this thing over the finish line, I realize there's a couple moving parts still with the politics of all this. But are you in any way sort of happy or glad that Democrats didn't in the end really participate? That allowed you to sort of get your wish list of what Republicans wanted rather than having to compromise for Democratic needs?
No, I think we're always better off if we have bipartisan support for things. And so, you know, I wish the Democrats just put partisanship aside and did what's right for the country. I know if you look at how much GDP growth has gone up in the last year, if you look at what's been going on in equity markets, then, you know, you might have an inkling that this thing we're doing is good for the country. And the fact that no Democrat will support it, you know, is really just a sad thing. And it's a sort of sad state of partisanship in America when there's something that's this obviously good that can't get a single Democratic vote.
Yeah. Marco Rubio is now a yes vote because he got his increased child tax credit. And so now he has moved to the yes column. My question for you, though, is, you know, this seemed what? Well, let me ask you why. Why is this so important to increase the child tax credit?
Well, it's very important for Marco Rubio to, you know, increase it and also make it refundable so that if you're a family that doesn't have a high income, that you'll get, you know, some of the child credit you'll get mailed as a refund. And the way I like to think about it is that if we were to sort of argue about income redistribution, then we might all have different opinions about how much you should tax the rich and move the money to the poor. But if we were to state the principle that we think that this should be a country where there's equalized opportunity, where, you know, a kid, no matter what kind of circumstances they're born in, has an equal chance to get ahead, then we would all want to strive for that objective, right? And the child credit is the one part of the tax code that really does help equalize opportunity. It mails money directly to families with kids so that the kids can have a warm coat and, you know, food in their belly and the books they need to get ahead. And so I think it's always had broad bipartisan support. Now, Senator Rubio wanted to expand it a little bit more than some of the other members in the Senate, but, you know, the president has supported this process. It's regular order, and, you know, sure enough, it looks like we're going to have a bill tomorrow.
I want to ask you about some of the other senators moving around. One is John McCain expected to miss the vote this week for health reasons. What does that mean to the process?
Well, you know, Senator McCain, I worked with Senator McCain back in 2000 when he first ran for president, and I've known him for a really long time. And I can say, you know, I myself have gone through chemotherapy, and at the end of it, you really don't feel so good. And going home for the holidays to rest up with your family and get your energy back is exactly the right call. Senator McCain's tax plan back in 2000 looked a lot like this thing that we're about to sign into law. And I think that, you know, we all owe him a deep debt of gratitude for voting for it and helping to get his other senator friends to vote for it as well. I think if there was any uncertainty about the bill's passage, given how much John loves the country, he'd be on the first plane back to vote for it. But right now, you know, the whip count is good. And I think everybody, all of his colleagues and all of his friends here at the White House want him to get some rest because we need his help next year on welfare reform and infrastructure.
We've seen the stock market hit a bunch of record days in a row. And the belief is by analysts that that's on the strength of this notion that this tax reform package will pass. If it fails to pass, though, do you expect that the economy is going to take a catastrophic lurch?
No, I don't think that the economy would take a catastrophic lurch, but I do think that equity markets would drop a heck of a lot. You know, it's hard to say exactly how much of the stock market increase we've seen this year is attributable to the tax cut, but, you know, probably back of the envelope, it's 5 to 10% of it. And so that's what you would see if the tax bill were to fail in the other direction.
Very quickly here, what about the idea that illegals will be able to benefit from this child tax credit because part of it is refundable?
Yeah, the there's been some, you know, existing rules about when you file your taxes, you need to have a Social Security number to do so. And I know that one of the moving parts of the bill has been whether they're talking about the Social Security number of the parent or of the children. And, you know, I think that might still be a work in progress. I have not been briefed on the final status of that.
Okay.
All right. Well, Kevin Hassett, really appreciate you briefing us this morning on the latest here.
It's great to be back.
Nice to have you, sir.
Bye-bye.